ASAP is working to make our field better and to make sure that at the end of your next shift, you can say like, hey, I did a good job today and I helped people today and it was meaningful and I am glad I chose emergency medicine.
Welcome to the Built on Results podcast, a series of conversations about the issues, the advocacy, and the wins on behalf of emergency physicians. Dr. Allison Haddock is the Regional Dean for Washington State University's Everett campus and immediate past president of the American College of Emergency Physicians. She says the conditions facing emergency physicians, like burnout, reimbursement cuts, and consolidation, can erode physician autonomy, leaving ASAP's leaders with a long to-do list. This is Episode 13, Defending a Good Day's Work.
It's really my belief and experience that physician autonomy is at the core of what we need as emergency physicians and what we are trying to do for our patients. And I believe that the cause of burnout in emergency medicine, which we all have seen the data, and we know there's more burnout in emergency medicine than in other specialties, and I believe that's driven by moral injury because we don't have the autonomy we need. We don't have the resources that we need to provide the care that we are well able to provide for our patients. And until we have more autonomy, more ability to get the resources we need to our patients when we need them for ourselves and our teams, emergency medicine is continuing to be a really challenging environment to work in.
Have emergency physicians always had to defend their autonomy?
I think the issue of autonomy has always been around, and that's, in fact, what I believe is part of what led the founders of the specialty to start the specialty and to start ASAP, is that they were working in emergency departments, but seen as less than and not like real doctors who needed real resources. And they said, no, we are real doctors, and these are real patients, and we, you know, need to have the resources we need, and we need to demonstrate to you that we have the training and education that we need to take great care of these patients. So that was the foundation we started from. It led to the formation of smaller groups, places where you knew who you were working with, you knew who the bosses were, and you had the ability to leverage your knowledge of the patients and the people who were in charge, because everything was kind of close. And I think it's just gotten more challenging as the healthcare system has gotten more and more complicated and groups have gotten bigger and bigger. It's more and more challenging to feel like you have that autonomy that you need in the clinical workspace.
What do you think is to blame for this erosion of physician autonomy?
I definitely think the forces on the healthcare system that are leading to boarding, which are economic forces that are way, way bigger than the specialty of emergency medicine, are a huge part of that, that those economic forces are making it really hard to run hospitals. I think reimbursement cuts are a big part of that. So as reimbursement gets cut to the hospitals, to the groups, it gets harder and harder for everyone to be able to get by as the insurers kind of continue to consolidate and hold more and more of the power in healthcare situations. But I also think that there's factors, again, just like with things getting so big, with healthcare getting so consolidated, that it's not as built on those like individual personal relationships anymore. It's more about like very big groups relationships with lots and lots of people and lots of hospitals. You know, in my area, there used to be a variety of different hospitals you could go to that were independently run. And more, there's just a few health systems that are administering all of the hospitals in the area. And that means that as an emergency physician, you have fewer different kinds of work environments to choose from and fewer different ways to run a hospital to choose from, because you're only choosing from a small number of hospital owners that are controlling all of the hospitals in the geographic area where you live and where your family lives.
You mentioned burnout as one of the results of the lack of autonomy, but what are some of the other problems physicians face?
I think burnout is like by far the biggest one. I think it just makes you more frustrated on a day-to-day shift when you're feeling like you don't have the autonomy that you need. So, you know, even if you're not reaching the point of making meeting the full criteria for burnout, you're leaving a shift instead of feeling like, wow, those were some good saves and good things I did for the patients I was taking care of. You're leaving the shift feeling like, man, I can't believe how long that radiology study took, and I can't believe how many of my patients are still in the hallway, in the waiting room, instead of in the beds that they should be in. And it's really, I think, robbing us of the feeling of satisfaction that we should have after a well-done day of work. I think it's also meaning that you're job choices are kind of constrained. And so you can't necessarily get the kind of job that you want that gives you like more control over, say, your hours or the type of patient population you're seeing, or, you know, whether the hospitals you're working in are single coverage or double coverage, like those kinds of choices that you could make. You're more and more feeling like you're just kind of a cog in a machine that goes where you're told, as opposed to someone who is creating a sustainable career for yourself based on the choices that you would make that are a fit for what you need and what you're trained to do and what your community needs.
So what's ACEP doing to address all of this?
A big factor here is educating and empowering emergency physicians so that they can make the choices that are going to give them the most autonomy in their workplace. So I think that the work that we did on Open Book is a great example of that. So I think part of autonomy comes from choosing where you want to work, and you need information about your choices. So Open Book helps get you information about what the employers are at different hospitals in your area, and then which of ACEP's policies they adhere to. So you can make a choice with that knowledge to empower you and give you that autonomy to make good choices. I think the work that we're doing for reimbursement and the work that we're doing for boarding, trying to reduce the amount of boarding that's going on, is also really meaningful in terms of just making it a better environment where we have more control, where we have more autonomy to make our own choices. And we're really continuing our work on emergency physician autonomy. Things definitely are not done yet in that area. So the group that we convened to look at this is continuing to meet. It's looking at things like ACEP's position on unionization and what unionization can do for people in different environments, if that is a lever that may give them more autonomy. And that might give you more autonomy even if you don't get fully to the point of unionizing, but even the process of kind of looking into unionizing, I think, can teach you things about how your system's working, where the areas are that you can have a positive influence, and thus how you can, you know, increase your autonomy by having an influence on decisions that are being made that have an impact on your practice. And some of the work that group has done has been around employer shutdowns too, so that when we have employers that go out of business, that physicians are in a position to have all the information they need, for example, about their tail insurance, and so that they have the, you know, that information, that transparency, that empowerment to make the best choice for themselves. While we're also working to prevent people from being in the situations that they've been in recently with the NES and APP closures and bankruptcies, so that emergency physicians don't end up in those positions because they have more information, more power, and, for example, malpractice policies that aren't going to leave them out to dry.
We've also supported chapters as they work to address legislative remedies in their own states, their own capitals. I assume they're another part of the solution.
Absolutely. We have a huge state legislative effort happening that has been going on for years. Before I was on the ACEP board, I was the chair of the state legislative committee. And I think that a lot of the action that we need to see, both in a legislative and regulatory arena, is really taking place at the states. And I think Oregon's corporate practice of medicine bill is a great example of that, a place where we stood up and looked at our policies and said, this is a match for our policy. ACEP believes that physicians should be making these decisions. And that's another thing we've done is I think we've strengthened our policies to say more about what decisions, what parts of the business of emergency medicine need to be in the hands of emergency physicians for things to be run fairly. And so it was exciting to see that bill come up in Oregon that really put some of those values into a state law and then see that law pass. So it's just one example of some of the great state legislative work that we've been doing lately.
And as we've seen in Oregon and other places, even after you've had success, you still need to stay vigilant and engaged to make sure that whatever gains have been achieved are not eroded later.
Definitely. And that's why we have such an active state legislative system. So we have multiple staff members working on this. We have a large committee working on this with people from not every state, but we try to get as close as we can to every state so that we have folks who are able to see what's happening on the ground and create action on the ground, right? Because we don't believe as a college that, you know, national should be coming to every state and disregarding the state chapters and saying this is just how it should be done. We really have a system where states can bring leaders together within their state and be empowered with some of our information. So not every state chapter is of a size where they can hire a lobbyist. Some are, some aren't. But given that resource constraint, ASAP is tracking legislation in every state around the country for things that have the biggest impact on emergency medicine. And we're getting in touch with our state chapter leaders saying, hey, we just wanted to make sure you were tracking this. Are there any resources we can mobilize to help support you in this? You know, I think another autonomy issue comes around the use of advanced practice providers and non-physicians in the emergency department. And that's another area where we've been really active. You know, if you are being told these non-physicians are your problem and responsibility, and you're not having the autonomy to decide whether or not you want to take them on or, you know, what you would charge to take them on, et cetera, and just being told you have to sign off on things afterwards and take on the liability without getting the to see the patients yourself, you know, I think that's a great example of a loss of autonomy. We've been very active in many states trying to make sure that there is an emergency physician in every emergency department possible and make sure that emergency physicians aren't being given responsibility or assigned responsibility for patients that they didn't actually see, weren't actually responsible for, that we're limiting the scope of non-physician practitioners to what is appropriate in the emergency medicine setting.
Can you summarize then the work ASAP is doing on behalf of its members in this space?
I think it's a little challenging to summarize just because there's so much activity that's been going on for so many years in so many different spaces with the same energy behind it of trying to empower individual emergency physicians and make your next shift better. It's hard to summarize, but I would say that there's been activity on the regulatory level, on the state level, on the federal level, on the sort of public advocacy front, trying to get things in the news. And we're really looking into all options, too. We're looking into unionization. We're looking into new legal protections for employed physicians. We're talking about non-competes. We're talking about non-physician providers. Like all of these issues that are critical to us in emergency medicine, ASAP is working to make our field better and to make sure that at the end of your next shift, you can say like, hey, I did a good job today and I helped people today and it was meaningful. And I am glad I chose emergency medicine because we know that's not where everyone's at yet. And, you know, I think that's the dream that ASAP can help make sure that that's where everyone is. They can say, I ate and drank today on my shift. I could go to the bathroom if I needed to, and I could make the choices that I needed to make for my patients to give them the best care.
Every day from now until March 28th, we'll feature a different story about the work of ASAP and its chapters. We'll talk about advocacy wins and work still underway to make sure you can do your job. We kicked off the series on March 11th. You can listen to those conversations and read more about ASAP's work to defend physician autonomy by clicking the links in the show notes. There's also a website, asap.org/results. You've been listening to the Built on Results podcast, a production of the American College of Emergency Physicians. We're back tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.